Dave, it's a very exciting day, very exciting week, not only because you have gorgeous curls that are free in a way that they're not normally free.
Yeah, I'm just out of a hot room spin class, or just out of one. So I've got the naturally tousled look. That is the secret. That is the secret. But you want to talk about curls though, Matt?
Oh, our guest. I mean, I've never seen a head of hair quite like this.
Yeah.
And we're going to focus mostly on that as we welcome actor, musician, model, star of the new Queer as Folk on Peacock, Finn Argus.
Finn!
Welcome to the show.
Howdy, folks. How's it going? Look, rumors are true. I do have curly hair. So.
Yes, you do. It's delicious. So
get that out of the table from the get.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much for your forthrightness in that regard. Where are you, Finn?
I'm currently at home. I live in Laurel Canyon.
Nice.
Close by Jim Morrison's old house.
Ooh.
A lot of music history.
Sure.
A lot of long-haired ghosts with bell bottoms. It's great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That country store is haunted by the living.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Laurel Canyon Country Store? It is truly. It's always an adventure.
Yeah. I got my coffee there this morning.
Lovely. Lovely.
Yeah.
Okay.
What goes on there? I've never been.
It's very fun. There are a lot of hippies. It feels stuck in the 60s, 70s. The woman who runs the cafe there, her name's Lily. And I've known her for 5 years now. I've lived here for a minute. And I just got the lowdown on the inception of the cafe. And it's a beautiful story. I can't believe I didn't know for this long. But she's like my Canyon mom.
Explain. I don't know anything about it.
So Lily's cafe, she moved here from Iran like 30 years ago or so, and was a librarian, and then somehow fell into making this cafe, and it struggled for many years, but now it's like a spot that's busy, busy, busy every day. And it's just her and her little coffee cart, and she's so sweet, and I love her very much. And the coffee's delish.
It's a great little place. Mm-hmm. Laurel Canyon Country Store, little piece of history. Where are you from? You're from Iowa.
No, I'm actually not, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Wikipedia's a liar. Then.
Wikipedia did you so dirty, but it's okay. I don't hold it against you. I'm from Illinois, so just one of those other Midwest states that start with an I. Mm-hmm. Born and raised in Des Plaines, which is a suburb of Chicago, most known for the first ever McDonald's being built there, as well as the place where John Wayne Gacy Jr. was arrested.
Wow.
So lots of clownery afoot in Des Plaines.
Yeah. Ronald McDonald, every bit is scary.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you watching these days?
I've been obsessively watching Drag Race ever since last October, and I can't stop. And it's ruining my life because I can't stop saying house down boots. Mm-hmm. And my friends are falling off in droves. But no, I'm teasing. I have been watching it religiously because in preparation for Queer as Folk, I was like, okay, I need to know everything there is to know about drag because I had never done drag before. And my character Mingus is just getting into the drag scene. And I did a deep dive and now I'm addicted and I'm almost entirely caught up. I have almost watched every single season, including the spinoffs.
Oh my God. All the countries, all the international spinoffs.
Exactly.
Everything. Wow.
That's a commitment.
You really did. I mean, that's a true method actor right there.
And what can I say?
What do you think, other than the phrase house down boots, what have been the sort of most helpful pieces of education for Mingus?
I think what I learned after watching a ton of Drag Race is I think I had too narrow of a view as to what drag is. And through watching it, I discovered that drag is really just about expressing yourself to the nth degree and taking whatever you bring to the table and then multiplying the things that are a part of your personality. So that's my main takeaway. And I feel like that has helped me in my personal life, like just in general, like regardless of drag performance. Then of course, you know, especially in the drag performances that we did in the show, I got to tap into Mingus's character. And then I almost worked backwards from the drag performances that were choreographed. And like, of course, the costumes and makeup looks were things that were decided for me, but I kind of reverse engineered the personality traits of like, if that's Mingus's personality to the nth degree, then where does that come from? So it helped me a lot, like find this character's story and, you know, figure out who they are in and out of drag.
And are you caught up on the current season of All Stars, All Winners?
No, I'm not.
You're not?
I know.
But you've seen some of it.
I know basically the whole cast, but I've been waiting to watch because I haven't caught up on all the regular seasons. Although apparently I'm far enough along so that I know all the winners who come back already.
Oh, great. Yeah. But it will help. It will enrich the experience, you know, the more you've seen previous to this. But just based on what you do know about it, do you have any predictions or anyone that you are particularly rooting for?
Well, I don't know who's still in it. I've been trying my best to avoid any spoilers, but I am a huge, huge fan of Evie Oddly and Jinx Monsoon. So, I'm into the off-kilter queens, so I'm rooting for them. And we shall see. I'm watching like crazy, so I'll be caught up in no time.
Okay. Now, I'm a little behind, but everyone's still in it. Like, they're not eliminating people.
Oh.
Right? Yes. Yeah, that's not a spoiler. That's just the way this season. No eliminations.
Oh, my God. What? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you get to enjoy the whole cast until the
bitter end. My God. That is such great news.
It's good news, right?
Yeah, I'd be so heartbroken to see any of them go home. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Stuff.
And if you love Jinx Monsoon, just prepare to super love Jinx Monsoon.
Yeah, I didn't know it was possible to love her more, but sign me up.
It is. It is.
It is. It is. And it's coming for you. So buckle up. Growing up in Illinois or Iowa, whichever it is, there's no way to know.
Still pretty sure it's Iowa.
What did you grow up obsessed with pop culture wise?
Oh, you know, I grew up in a really conservative area. I was very sheltered. So I think when I go back, one of the first times that I saw queerness on screen, like in a way that I related to, was Perks of Being a Wallflower, actually.
Oh, wow.
Like, which is so random. But that character, Patrick, they do drag. And that was the first time I'd seen anything like that. And that kind of sparked my interest in drag or just queerness in media. I'm trying to think. I mean, I've always been a cartoon gal. So those were the things that I was geeking out over. So whether it's like Avatar The Last Airbender, Pokemon, I just went back and I've been watching. I don't know. Yeah, I think those were the things that I was geeking out over. Besides, I mean, I was also obsessed with Jason Mraz when I was like 12.
Really?
Obsessed.
Wow.
The first song I ever learned how to play and sing was I'm Yours by Jason Mraz.
I'll be damned.
That's actually what inspired me to start writing music. Good old JJ.
That's...
Gotta love him.
Good old Jason Mraz. This is my favorite Jason Mraz fact. Do you know that he has an avocado farm in San Diego?
Uh-huh. I actually did know that.
Okay. And do you know what it's called?
No. Wait, what is it called?
Matt, do you know what it's called?
No. Do tell.
It's called the Maranch.
The Maranch?
It's called the Maranch.
Oh my God.
It's called the Maranch.
Almost did a spit take on that.
Yeah.
Of course it is. What else would it be called?
The Maranch.
It's called the Maranch.
Jason Maranch.
And how do you feel about having Jason Mraz, you know, in the umbrella, in the rainbow, in the alphabet?
Oh, work, you know?
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? When I look back on all the people that I was most interested in the media space, like while I was growing up, so many of them are queer and I didn't know that they were at the time.
No, wild.
Like, yeah, Jason Mraz or even like Brendan Urie, Panic at the Disco. Yeah, just people that I really looked up to that weren't explicitly queer now are like, bing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm into it.
I'm into it too. These are all people that I'm not especially music savvy, which is a crushing disappointment to Dave, who is the music savviest person.
No,
but
not
those
really.
Are people we should have on the show.
They're absolutely people we should have on the show. And it's true. Oh my God, like, yes. I found a similar thing. The music that I was really into in high school was like Bob Mould and Husker Du and Tommy Keane and all these guys who later I found out were also gay. And there was just something about the music, about the emotion of it or something that just sort of grabbed me. We knew before we knew.
Yeah. I've even found that with like friends in my life. Like a lot of my friends who I made when I first moved to LA, we were all, you know, straight. I'm doing air quotes for the people listening. But then one by one, we all started coming out. It's just funny, you know, we're drawn to, I, or at least I find that I'm consistently drawn to queer folks, whether I know they're queer or not.
Mm-hmm. Did you do a lot of theater stuff growing up or no?
Yeah, that's actually how I got into acting and in music. Yeah. I did theater when I was a kid. I was a wild kid. My birth name is Stefan, and my parents would call me Stevzilla. I was bouncing off the walls, and they were just trying to figure out how to get me to like chill, or at least give me a space where I could bounce off the walls and people would be like, oh yeah, cool, that's nice. So they put me in an acting class. And that was when I was in like kindergarten. And my first acting role was playing a river, because I couldn't memorize any lines, couldn't memorize stage direction. They're like, babe, just lay on the ground and writhe around like you're a body of water. And I said, you know what? That I can do. Sign me up. And they were wrong. I was wrong too. I couldn't do it. I ended up doing a handstand on the wall in my cowboy boots. It's all on video. And that is my first acting role. Mm-hmm. I was born to be a queen.
Born to be a river that can do a handstand.
I guess so.
Also on your Wikipedia page, I hope this one is true, that you were a member of Kidz Bop.
Okay, see, that one is in fact true. I was in
Kidz
Bop. Okay, woof. So I did theater, and I was doing that for many years, super passionate about it. And then I started to get interested in TV and film. There was some agent that came to one of the plays that I did, and they asked my parents if I wanted to like audition for stuff. And my parents were like, no, leave us alone. My kid's going to be a construction engineer. Plot twist, that didn't happen. But they did tell me about that. And then ever since finding out that there was this person who expressed interest, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, of course I want to do TV and film. I got an agent in Chicago, and my first audition was for Kidz Bop. And I ended up booking it, and it was all very like shiny and glossy. They flew me to LA, and I started filming these ridiculous music videos and commercials where they put me in the brightest clothes imaginable that did not go together at all. And I had my signature black fedora, which was inspired again by Mr. Mirage.
By Jason Mraz.
And yeah, I did that for 3 years. It was countrywide tours and many music videos and commercials. It was a whole thing. Like, I was a part of a children's music machine. Very wild.
That's insane.
But it was fun.
And Mike Anderson of Kidz Bop sends his greetings.
Oh my God, Mike!
He's an old, old friend of mine.
No
former
way!
Former guest on the show. Yeah.
That's so cool. I ran into him randomly when I was in New York filming a movie last summer. It was so random. We were just walking through Hudson. Hadn't seen him since I was in Kidz Bop. And then we just walked past each other. We both were like doing double takes, walking past each other. And then while we were almost like, I got to say, we were 100 feet away from each other, we both like turned around and decided, no, that's got to be them.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest moment.
Wild.
Hi, Mike.
But also, yeah. Hi, Mike. Hello. How are you?
Mike, yeah. He and I, we were in our 20s in New York together. We adults bopped our way around New York City in our 20s back in the 1990s.
Aw, fun.
One of the world's greats.
Yeah. Pretty much the same thing as Kidz Bop.
Yeah. And I'm sure he's bursting with paternal pride over your recent successes, especially.
Yeah.
So you moved to LA when you were very young, obviously, and you were straight in the giant air quotes. But at the time, what was your own like internal understanding of your own sexuality and gender?
Yeah. When I moved to LA, I was 15. I was coming straight from like this conservative neighborhood in Chicago where not only was it a conservative environment, but I was heavily involved in the church. And at this time, I already knew I was queer, but, you know, it's a lot to get out of that space and, of course, be explicitly queer if you're within that space. So I was really pulling to move to LA. And I think a big part of the draw for me to be a performer was that it brought me into these spaces where queerness or just like behavior that could be perceived as queer, like, was encouraged and supported. And so I somehow convinced my parents to let me go to LA to do a season of auditioning. And then I ended up booking stuff, so I stayed. But it really saved me because living in that conservative environment was incredibly stifling, as you could imagine. But I knew I was queer from, I think, 12. So right around the time I booked Kidz Bop. And as soon as I moved to LA, I felt something open up and I came out within like probably less than a year. I came out as bi, and now I just use the word queer in how it relates to my sexuality and my gender, because I definitely am not a man. And that's been something that I realized about myself during lockdown, you know, when I no longer had to present for anyone. I was just in my house alone every day, and I realized the things that I wanted to wear were, you know, skewing more feminine. And then that made me feel more aligned with my personhood, and it felt more honest. But, you know, it's hard to do that when you're going out and seeing people every day who have known you forever. So I feel really lucky for that lockdown period. It really helped me start exploring my own transness.
And how did it go with your family, considering, you know, where you are from and your background?
Yeah. I mean, it was complicated, but it wasn't that hard. You know, they're so loving. And I think in the same way I had a reckoning with my queerness, I think they had to go through their own coming out process in a way. I definitely wasn't stoked about it at first. You know, when I realized I was queer, I'm like, God doesn't like that, I'm pretty sure. So I don't know. I was in my head about it, but I became confident in my queerness pretty quickly, which I'm grateful for. And I think a lot of that is due to living in LA and being surrounded by so many friends who also ended up being queer. And I was actually dating my first boyfriend when I came out. And I think that was less about the reaction was tough, but I think it was more just like the shock of it all. But my parents are now like the most supportive. They're the ones dragging me to Pride. And it's like they've done a complete 180. And also my mom has been like absolutely knocking it out of the park with my pronouns lately, which is just really exciting because that's been a newer development. Like my parents are super cool. Sexuality, like all good. The gender journey has been another thing that we've had to talk about recently. But, you know, they got the chops now. Oh, and also I am a family of queer folks. I have queer siblings. And so they really, you know, like they had to figure it out.
Right.
But they did. And kudos to them. They're super loving and supportive. And I'm really grateful for them. But yeah, it was tough at first.
Did they not move to LA? How did you come to LA at 15?
I moved with my mom originally. And so initially the plan was to just do an audition season, like do a quick little episodic season, see if I book anything. And if I do, then yippee, we stay. If not, then back to Chicago and I become a construction engineer. But I ended up booking it was like a Disney short film. It was a pilot essentially, but I don't know, whatever it was, I ended up booking something that kept me in LA. So it was just me and my mom and also one of my other Kids Bop Kid friends, Elijah, and then his dad. And it was very much like Oakwood apartment vibes. We weren't mm-hmm. technically in the Oakwood, but right. like we might as well have been. mm-hmm. But yeah, I ended up booking this like Disney short film. I had a whole Disney moment. Like I was doing a lot of Disney pilots, a lot of like little Disney guest stars. And it ended up keeping me in LA. So my dad and the rest of my family remained in Chicago. But now my older sibling lives in Koreatown and my younger sister goes to LMU. So I got both my siblings out here.
Nice. Very nice.
That's great.
Can we talk, what were your Kids Bop songs?
Okay, so we spanned everywhere from Born This Way, Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm. That was the first music video we did.
Mm-hmm. What were the lyrical changes that you had to make?
Good question.
For Born This Way, they cut out the problematic verse.
Okay.
So okay. That is not present.
Yeah.
And then the last song we did, which this is a very funny edit, is Thrift Shop by Macklemore. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't even begin to explain. It's like a totally different song. And that's also, that was Mike's job.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
So, I mean, it was really funny. Like when I heard that we were going to do Thrift Shop, and not only did we record that song, but we performed it live when we were on tour. So we were like we had a whole choreographed moment. I was rapping the first verse.
Oh
my God. I can't believe. So embarrassing to think about. But honestly, it was really fun.
So, yeah, how do we get around the R. Kelly blanket line?
Walk up in the club like, what up? I've got a hit song. I'm so pumped. Okay. I got some clothes from the thrift shop. I don't know what they did for the art. smells like, oh, smells like old baseball cleats. Smells like old baseball cleats.
Okay, sure. Yeah, all right.
He said, sure.
I don't know what the R. Kelly lyric is, but I don't think I need to know. I like the old baseball cleats spin.
It's better.
Old baseball cleats is just fine. It's just fine.
I mean, for Kids Bop Thrift Shop, it's honestly a home run.
I love the way that they like reinterpret songs that you know and love and make them just completely okay for kids. What's the I think Uptown Special?
Mm-hmm.
You can't say Hot Damn because it's kids. So that one was too hot. Hot Yeah, which that didn't really make any sense, but it makes me say I now say Hot Yeah a lot. This is a thing that Mike Anderson and I talk about a lot. As he's got a golden ear for hit songs, and then he's very good at making them okay for kids.
Right.
I've heard a few of the songs that he tried to get through that he was not able to get through because there was just the source material was too dirty.
Yeah, I'm still waiting very patiently for the Kids Bop.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Kids Bop.
Yeah. I think you're going to be waiting a long time. I think you will be waiting.
It's not going to happen.
I would get comfy wherever it is that you're waiting because you're going to be there for a while.
Got it.
Yeah. God almighty. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Kids Bop was fun.
Yeah. If I'm, you know, if I'm doing the math correctly, when you came out and started dating and being in relationships and whatever, you probably do not know a pre-apps dating world.
I do not. No. Yeah. I mean, I met my first boyfriend on Tinder. Like, okay. That was actually a big part of, I didn't even know how to meet guys.
Yeah.
Like, I knew three gay guys, like, total, growing up. And so I was like, I don't even, like, that was another thing where I was like, well, am I gay? Because, like, I've never met anyone that I wanted to, like, date. But, okay, also, I mean, I was dating girls, and that was great also. And I think, Tinder really, it opened up my mind, my eyes, my world. Mm-hmm. I met a handsome fella, and actually, it was the first person I ever met off of a dating app. First date, we ended up dating for, like, a year.
Yeah.
Turns out I'm a serial monogamist.
And where are you in your serial monogamy journey currently?
Yeah.
Not on that journey anymore. I'm not monogamous. That's not my journey. I've just, like, right now I'm single. I'm single and just meeting people. I don't know. It's been weird. I think I've just kind of been traveling so much that I feel like it's hard to have a sustained relationship. Sounds like I'm like married to my work or whatever. I don't know. I'm just meeting people. I'm out and about. It's LA.
Where do you lurk? Where is out and about for you?
Where do I lurk?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, okay, so yeah, apps. Let's talk about that. I honestly meet most people through Instagram.
Really?
Whether it's friends or like someone that I go on a date with or whatever, like I don't really meet people off of dating apps. It's usually just Instagram.
Okay.
It's like a little follow for follow back and then slide into the DMs. That's my wavelength. Someone slides in my DMs, I'll say what's up.
Why not?
Good to know, listeners. So let's talk about Queer as Folk. What was your relationship to the, you know, previous iterations of the show before it came into your life?
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, it aired in 1999 originally. So I was the ripe age of 1 year old.
Mm.
Luckily, they did do weekly screenings at my preschool. So I was able to
caught up quick.
Yeah. I stayed caught up. No, I actually hadn't seen it until I got this audition for this newer version. And obviously I'd heard of the show. It's like super iconic, legendary for queer representation. So I went back, did my research, watched it, and it's a blast. I mean, I just love explicit queer content. I believe in what that represents. So it was exciting to be able to audition for this newer version. And I don't know. I mean, I wasn't really expecting to book it, but here we are. Super stoked. It was a blast. And I'm friends with Stephen Dunn, our showrunner. And I think that was a very weird connection. Like my boyfriend at the time sent me a link to a trailer for Closet Monster, which is Stephen Dunn's feature film. And it looked super cool. We sat down and watched it that night. I loved it. And I hardly ever do this, but I looked up the director on Instagram just because I was like, well, super talented indie filmmaker. Maybe I can DM him. Maybe we can work together. Like, I don't know, whatever. I just wanted to connect. And I saw that he was already following me. And so then I scrolled down further, saw some photos of him. And I said, wait a second, I recognize this man. This is the fella that walks his chihuahua past my house every day.
Yeah.
Turns out we're like literally next door neighbors. And I DM'd him and I was like, I just saw your movie. I didn't even know you were a filmmaker. This is so weird. And then we ended up hanging out. I showed him a music video of mine for a song that I'm going to be releasing pretty soon. And unbeknownst to me, it was very much in line with Mingus's personality. And Mingus is my character in the show Queer as Folk. And he asked me to read for the role. And the rest is themstery.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what's it like down in New Orleans? Is it just wild times with the cast? Is it summer camp?
New Orleans is one of the coolest cities I've ever visited. It's a lot. I don't know if you've ever been, but I mean, it's just a highly active city at all times. And as a very much like homebody introvert, that was overwhelming, but I grew to love it pretty fast. And I think a lot of that is due to the music, like the creative energy of New Orleans. There's musicians everywhere. There's parades, like brass bands just walking through the street all the time. It's an exhilarating place to be. It's also the South, you know? So I was experiencing a lot of homophobia, transphobia, just like every day on the street. So that was stressful, but simultaneously, it has the coolest and most connected queer scene of anywhere I've been my entire life. So it's just like an extreme place, you know, extreme on every end of things. And I was living in the French Quarter too, so there was no respite. I was in the thick of it, but I love New Orleans and I love the drag scene there. They're amazing queens. And I don't know. I love it. I miss it. As a cast, we were hanging out like all the time. I became best friends with Chris Renfro. They played Daddius in Queer as Folk. And we lived basically like, we lived like three blocks away from each other in the French Quarter. So we were just hanging out every day, either baking or doing drag together. They're a super talented drag artist. So we sort of were building our own drag personas whenever we weren't filming. It was that and watching Great British Baking Show.
Come on. Dream. That's a good life. And what's an average day like for you now that you're back in your Laurel Canyon bungalow?
Yeah, it's been nice being back and also having some time off of acting work. That's been my focus for a minute, like for a few years, which I love. And it's so much fun. Acting is like my opportunity to help other people tell stories. But since I've been back and I've had a bit of a break, now that, you know, press is sort of slowing down for Queer as Folk, I've been able to focus more on my music. So a day in my life has been a lot of either writing music or recording or preparing for the rollout of my song and music video and the EP that I'm putting out in a few months. So it's a lot of that, a lot of clerical music work. But also I've been playing a shit ton of Smash Bros. Can't stop.
Wow.
Can't stop, won't stop. And I challenge anyone who's willing to brave my GameCube.
Wow. Smash Bros.
Yeah, are you familiar? Have you played?
I've seen the name. What's it for? Switch? What is it?
Switch, GameCube. It's a Nintendo game where basically you're battling these like iconic characters from various video games.
Right.
And it's very fun. I'm super bad at it, but I play as Kirby and have a blast.
I gotta imagine, speaking of sliding into your DMs, you're getting messages, not just from people who want to be friends or want to be more than friends, but from viewers, especially young people who have been touched by the show and connect to Mingus. What kind of messages you've been getting?
Yeah, for me, that's been the coolest part of having this show out is hearing how it's resonated with people on a personal level and how it's like impacted them emotionally. And I know for me, like I said, with seeing queerness for the first time on screen in Perks of Being a Wallflower, that was super impactful for me. But it was still a very like limited scope of what queerness is. And what I love about this iteration of Queer as Folk is it really, you get a very raw and intimate look at a wide range of queerness. And for my character specifically, that's super in line with my queerness. And I think the cool thing about working with Steven is he allowed these characters to be such a collaboration, like really wanted to imbue the characters with our own respective queerness. So Mingus holds a really special place in my heart, and the way they express their gender and the way they express their creativity resonates with me a lot. And I've heard a lot from people that either are just now for the first time exploring their gender queerness or have been and just haven't seen it represented on screen before reach out to me and let me know how impactful it was to see that. And specifically, I'm thinking of, this wasn't via Insta DM, but I go to this queer skate meetup. It's every Wednesday at Chevy Chase. It's so much fun. But I met this person I meet people there all the time. I thought it was just like making friends, but this person came up, introduced themselves, and I could tell that they're a little bit nervous. But you know, they started to get a little bit emotional talking about how they had seen Queer as Folk and how seeing Mingus, you know, enter screen wearing this like, this, you know, beautiful pink dress and like makeup and just like ride through on their skateboard into the show. That was like really impactful for them. And they loved seeing that type of queerness, especially in the skate scene. Because there is a lot of queerness in the skate scene. And I feel like that's having a huge moment right now. And they were wearing a skirt and tights. And they said that it was the first time they had done that. And it made me so happy because like, I don't know, if I had seen something like that, it probably would have made my journey so much easier and understanding my own gender and just feeling empowered to dress the way that I want to dress. So I got super emotional. We were both like all teary-eyed and hugging. And it's just so cool to me that our show can have that type of effect on young queer folks. And that's not the only time I've heard that. There are a lot of young queer folks who I've met through the skate scene or other places that have said specifically how Mingus's queerness on screen really helped them feel comfortable in expressing themselves and their own gender queerness.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yes.
Makes me very happy.
Finn, congratulations. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
Enjoy Laurel Canyon and your coffees.
Thank y'all so much. This has been a blast.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here. You too, and everyone I know is already watching Queer as Folk on Peacock, but if you are not, get on it.
Yes, stream it, binge it. Thank you for listening. I appreciate y'all having me.
Thank you for coming on.
Mwah.
Homophilia is a World of Wonder production, produced and edited by Kate Moldenhauer.
Special thanks to Randy Barbato, Fenton Bailey, Steven Sims, Edward Bochniak, and the whole team at World of Wonder.
We love you.
And theme music by my Ben Wise.
Yes, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at HomophiliaPod. You can give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening. We love you.